Future for America, and July 18th, 2020, number 6, the Ensign. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Revelation 11:11-12. After being trampled down in the street, Elijah and Moses receive the Comforter, and they then stand upon their feet. Ezekiel's Valley of Bones first hear a noise, and then experience a shaking, but they were still without breath. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel 37:7-8. When the bodies have been reconstituted, they hear the message of the four winds. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel 37:9-10. All the prophets identify the end of the world. So the passage from Ezekiel produces a dilemma for those who wish to avoid the message of Revelation 11's two prophets. Of course, for those who wish to reject the message, the easiest lie they can tell themselves is that Revelation is just a history that represents the French Revolution, and it has no end of the world application. But if you accept the premise that even Revelation 11 identifies the end of the world, then you must reconcile the fact that the mighty army at the end of the world that presents the third angel's message in a loud cry is identified as being dead and resurrected in advance of their standing up as God's army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Ezekiel 37:11-14. Christ ascended into heaven with a cloud, and he returns with clouds, and the clouds represent angels. Moses and Elijah ascend up into heaven in a cloud that represents the message of the third angel that flies in the midst of heaven at the Sunday Law in the United States. Moses and Elijah ascend up into heaven at the Sunday Law in connection with a message of Islam. Isaiah brings many of the truths connected with this history in the very same passage that Jesus referenced to identify his work. When Jesus quoted from Isaiah, he employed the prophets Elijah and Elisha as examples of a prophetic message not being received by their own countrymen, and it immediately brought those of the church in Nazareth to anger, and they sought to kill him. When Elijah is raised to life with a message of good tidings, persecution begins. Persecution begins at the Sunday Law. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 61:1-62:12. The Lord enters into an everlasting covenant with the 144,000 who have previously been forsaken, but then become a city that is not forsaken. They were desolate and dead in the street. Isaiah identifies them as the priests of the Lord's ministers, a holy people, and the watchmen on the walls of Zion. In contrast with those who rejoiced over their dead bodies, God then rejoices over them as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. The bride has then been made ready. Just as in the promise to Philadelphia, the Lord gives them a new name, and he identifies their name as Hephzibah and Beulah. Hephzibah means, my delight is in her, and Beulah means to marry. The Lord marries those represented by Elijah and Moses. The work they are given is to prepare the way for Christ's second coming by preaching the good tidings of Christ and his righteousness unto the end of the world. They have been anointed by the Comforter in the outpouring of the Spirit, and will then be lifted up as a standard, as a great voice from heaven says unto them, come up hither. They will then be as a crown of glory and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. Zechariah identifies the same crown as an ensign, while also placing the event during the time of the latter rain. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Zechariah 9:16-10:1. They will be the flock of his people, but the Lord has a second flock who are then still in Babylon, who he will also call. Their work will be to rebuild the old waste places and the desolations of many generations. They will be those who return and reestablish the old paths that have been rejected and covered up within Adventism and without Adventism. They will return to the Millerite foundational truths and present them in their purity to Laodicean Adventism. And they will also present a message to those outside of Adventism concerning the old truths connected with God's law, especially the Sabbath. In doing so, they will use the histories of many generations to illustrate the new history. Their work will take place during the latter rain, when the judgments of God are in the land. When the Lord with his right hand lifts them up as an ensign, the entire world that had previously rejoiced over their dead bodies lying in the street will see the ensign and hear the watchman's warning trumpet. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye, when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Isaiah 18:3. In chapter 11 of Revelation, when those who had been rejoicing over their dead bodies see them stand up, great fear fell upon them which saw them. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Isaiah 31:8-9. All the prophets' testimonies come together in the book of Revelation. The Assyrian represents the king of the north in Daniel 11, verse 40-45, who comes to his end with none to help. When the 144,000, who are God's watchmen, blow the trumpet, the entire world will hear and be afraid. Those represented by the two prophets will be anointed by the Comforter to preach good tidings, that are the tidings out of the east and out of the north, that trouble the king of the north in Daniel chapter 11, verse 44, and that marks the beginning of the persecution of the Sunday law crisis. At that time, the Gentiles will respond to the message to come out of Babylon and come and join the priests of the Lord, who are also represented as a root of Jesse, thus identifying the biblical methodology that they will use to present the warning message unto the Gentiles. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:10-12. The Lord gathered his people on September 11, 2001, with the message that identified Islam's attack as the arrival of the third woe. The Lord gathers his people again a second time after they have been dead in the street. When he does so, those gathered are identified as the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah. They were cast out into the streets on July 18, 2020, but they are gathered a second time to be the ensign that gathers God's other flock that are still in Babylon. The gathering of those still in Babylon begins at the Sunday law in the United States, which is the second of two voices in Revelation 18. The first gathering took place on September 11, 2001, when Islam struck the United States. As the ensign that is to be gathered a second time, they are represented as the root of Jesse, which is a symbol which represents the work of Alpha and Omega, illustrating the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. The first gathering was marked by an Islamic strike upon the United States, and both illustrates and identifies an Islamic strike upon the United States as the second gathering. When the root of Jesse stands for an ensign to the Gentiles, his rest shall be glorious, for the ensign will lead those still in Babylon back to the biblical old path of the seventh-day Sabbath, thus marking the raising of the ensign for the Gentiles at the Sunday law crisis. The ensign first experiences a purification process that has been illustrated in Malachi chapter 3, the two temple cleansings of Christ, and of course the parable of the 10 virgins at the end of the Millerite movement. The purification process at the beginning is repeated to the very letter at the end, and is represented by Isaiah in connection with a singular table that has been noted in a book. The rebellion of Adventism is the counterfeit table produced in 1863 to reject and replace the two tables noted in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee. Till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Isaiah 30:8-19. In 1863, Adventism began the process of rejecting the prophetic message of William Miller as represented upon the two sacred tables of Habakkuk. Jesus illustrates the end with the beginning. In this passage, the rebels at the beginning of Adventism also represent the rebels at the end of Adventism. In both cases, the rebellion represents a rejection of the prophetic message and methodology of each history, when they proclaim to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. They also determine to leave the path when they proclaim, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. The path of the righteous is the old paths of Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. The rebels determine not to walk in the foundational truths or to hearken to the sound of the trumpet that is blown by the watchmen that have been lifted up, representing the Millerite movement and the movement of future for America. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Jeremiah 6:16-19. The rebels' refusal to walk in the old paths is also represented as their desire to cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before them, and represents the rejection of the message of the midnight cry, which is premised upon the Alpha and Omega, illustrating the end of Adventism with the beginning. They had a bright light set up behind them at the beginning of the path, which an angel told me was the midnight cry. This light shone all along the path and gave light for their feet, so that they might not stumble. If they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them leading them to the city, they were safe. But soon some grew weary and said the city was a great way off, and they expected to have entered it before. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm, and from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band, and they shouted, Alleluia! Others rashly denied the light behind them, and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. The light behind them went out, leaving their feet in perfect darkness, and they stumbled and lost sight of the mark and of Jesus, and fell off the path down into the dark and wicked world below. Christian Experience and Teachings of Ellen G. White, 57. The purification process represented by the midnight cry produces two classes of worshipers, and Isaiah chapter 30 represents the foolish virgin's lack of oil as an inability to gather water or fire, which are both symbols of the Comforter, when Isaiah writes, "Whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit." Their judgment comes suddenly, as represented by the cry at midnight, when they then find that it is too late to obtain the oil. The fire and water in Isaiah's testimony are simply another representation of the oil in the parable of the 10 virgins. Oil, water, and fire represent character. They represent the message and also the presence of the Comforter. None of these symbols can be obtained when the judgment of the 10 virgins cometh suddenly at an instant. It is then too late. The only safety is in returning, which is the promise made to Jeremiah when he represented those that were disappointed at the first disappointment. If God's people would return unto him, he would return unto them, but the rebels refuse, and the light that illuminated the path went out. The light at the beginning was the midnight cry, and the path forward was illuminated by Christ's glorious right arm all the way into eternity. Christ was in front of those on the path, and the light behind must be the same light, for Christ illustrates the end of the path with the beginning of the path. The midnight cry was, and is, present truth. I am often referred to the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise, and 5 foolish. This parable has been and will be fulfilled to the very letter, for it has a special application to this time, and like the third angel's message, has been fulfilled and will continue to be present truth till the close of time. Review and Herald, August 19, 1890. A desire to cause the Holy One to cease from before them is a rejection of not only Christ, but Christ as the Alpha and Omega. It is the rejection of the Midnight Cry message. The Midnight Cry message in the beginning of Adventism was a correction of the failed prediction. The rebels who rejected the old paths and created a counterfeit table separate from the righteous as represented in the Millerite movement's fulfillment of the Midnight Cry. Then 1,000 fled at the rebuke of one, and the movement suddenly went from 50,000 down to 50. They fled because of the rebuke, which came from the 5 wise virgins who told them they had no oil to share, and that they must go and buy their own oil. The separation of the foolish from the wise left the wise virgins as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on an hill. The rebellion of the foolish virgins on October 22, 1844, illustrated the rebellion of 1863, for October 22, 1844 was the beginning of the 19 years that represents the end of the 7 times of Leviticus 26. We have more to say on this subject, but the rebellion in 1844 typified the rebellion of 1863 and marks the point when the counterfeit table was created. The fear that is experienced by the foolish virgins is the fear represented when the wise virgins are brought back to life and stand upon their feet. It is then too late to return from the disappointment of July 18, 2020. And the next thing to happen is the ascension up into heaven that takes place at the Sunday Law. It is then that a great earthquake takes place. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Revelation 11:13-14. Revelation 11 identifies that during the French Revolution, a 10th part of the city fell. And in that history, the nation of France, a nation that consisted of 2 prophetic horns, represented as Sodom and Egypt, was overthrown. The 2 horns of France typify the 2 horns of the United States. France was prophetically one of 10 kingdoms that represent pagan Rome in Daniel 7, and therefore a 10th part of the kingdom, city, fell. In fact, of those 10 horns of Daniel 7 that ultimately placed the papacy on the throne of the earth in 538, France was the primary kingdom that established the papacy. As one of the 10 powers of Daniel 7, France typifies the role of the two-horned earth beast of Revelation 13. The United States accomplishes the same work for the papacy at the end as France did at the beginning. The United States is the premier power of 10 kings that represent the United Nations, and it falls at the earthquake of the Sunday Law. We will address these verses more fully in the next article. One of the primary issues of this article is that it is a message that brings God's people to their feet. For the Comforter that brings them to their feet represents the oil, which not only represents the Holy Spirit, but also the communications that God sends to his people. The message of Revelation 11 that brings Moses and Elijah to their feet is also represented with the promise given to Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Jeremiah 15:19-21. Isaiah had made the same appeal when he said, For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. Isaiah added that the returning was in connection with the tarrying time of the parable, for he wrote, And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The privilege of being God's mouth, as Jeremiah identified, is the privilege of speaking for God at the time when the United States speaks as a dragon. The words that will then be spoken by God's people is the warning against the mark of the papal beast. To partake in that glorious movement requires that we return. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, Blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, Assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defenced cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 4:1-7. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Judges 6:34-35.